time now for Ask McLean Anything. John, have you ever fasted?
Do I look like I fasted?
Well, at any point.
I tried at one point, like when I first gained my first like 50 pounds and went up from 180 to, what did that be, 230. Then I tried fasting and it lasted about a day. And that was it. I know people that fasted for 10 days and drunk this weird juice and everything.
Oh, wow.
And it screws up their whole system, but they believe in it, but no.
There is something, there's a clarity that comes to people, they say, and it's kind of the same. Like, you could do the same with a low-carb diet, where all of a sudden when your body switches over to burning fat predominantly, that you get this mental clarity and focus. You know when it happens? Mike, what's the name of the guy that I read that book about that was shot down in World War II?
Not Dave Asprey. Oh, Louis...
Louis Samperini, yeah. Right? Severini. Samperini? John.
Louis Severino.
This is where I like. This is why I can never not work with Mike. Mike remembers the details of my life better
He's
than
a
I
genius.
Do. Things that I've done.
I do what I can.
Going to law school.
So, John, this is this Olympian who was shot down in World War II. He was on a bomber in the Pacific, and he spent a record amount of time on a lifeboat. And he and his buddy that were out there in the life raft said that after a certain amount, you get this incredible mental clarity and recall, and they would get to the point where they would like spend their time recalling like minute details from earlier in their life that they never otherwise would know, and then memorizing details about each other. So that's the upside of starvation. The downside is eventually you starve to death.
And now you know.
Yeah.
John, what do you think about open relationships?
Open relationships, I think, boy, if you have an open relationship, you don't. It's not unconditional love with the person you're with.
Wow, that's pretty deep.
I like that explanation. So I went on a yoga date with someone who was in an open relationship on Monday night.
Was she married?
No, but it seems like they are serious enough where they may be living with one another.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure.
Paul went to yoga and she told him, hey, my boyfriend's got dinner waiting back home.
And she told me up front that she had an open relationship before we even met. She said, hey, I just want you to know, I don't want you to judge me, but I'm in an open relationship.
She's in an open relationship and she says that and you're interested in her, go for it.
Mm. You know what I'd worry about is like, okay, she's cool with this open relationship, but I really know that the guy is cool too.
Could he kick my ass?
Guys are very often guilty of saying like, oh, I'm on a hall pass, or like, my wife and I have an understanding, when there is no understanding. So I wonder if she's being the guy here and saying there's an understanding when there's not.
Was she going to call him and say, I won't be home for dinner. I'll be home for dinner late. I met a guy at yoga.
Yeah.
I don't know. And would it be toxic masculinity if he kicks my ass?
No, I don't think so.
As long as he didn't have a gun.
You're like, bro, you're so toxic.
The Gillette ad. Did you watch it this week? What are you doing?
I can tell by your lack of a clean shave that you don't respect me.
I want to check him up on Facebook to see if he could kick my ass.
I'm intrigued. I bet there's some people in open relationships that are genuinely... I've always been a little jealous of that ability to be completely jealousy-free. I couldn't do it personally.
I couldn't either.
But I just, I'm intrigued that there are some people that could not be jealous in that manner. It's fascinating.
Paul, there are so many beautiful women, smart, great senses of humor, great personality, great bodies out there.
Watch her doing yoga. We're already body too.
Don't need to find somebody that's going to be complicated and complicate you. Could complicate your life,
but
like
it's great
getting
content.
Your ass kicked.
That's good advice.
It's good for
John.
The show. It's good for the show. That's all that matters.
John, why?
Then take it to the next level and tell us what happened.
Ooh. Why have the Texans never considered Bruce Matthews as the O-line coach?
I do not know. When O'Brien offered the job to Mike Munchak when Bill was hired, I thought Mike would take it, and I thought he would hire Bruce as his assistant. And Munchak and Matthews
would be
back together in Houston. And then Mike chose to go back to Pennsylvania for family reasons. And I don't know. Bruce was a coach in Tennessee. And what people forget, Munchak didn't get fired in Tennessee. He was offered an extension. But he had to fire three coaches, including Bruce Matthews, his close friend. And he said, no, I don't mind firing coaches when I believe – they need to be fired. And so they said, if you don't, you're fired. So he got fired and they got fired.
That is a weird demand. All right, fire three coaches. But they
do that in sports a lot.
It was very specific.
And a lot of guys, you know, Jim Morris Sr. ended up losing his job with the Colts because he refused to fire some people.
Wade Phillips got fired in Buffalo because he wouldn't fire a special teams coach after the Music City Miracle.
Now, Tom Coughlin with the Giants fired a bunch of coaches before he won his second Super Bowl. And I think, I don't know if it was either you do this or else, but some of those coaches are guys that have been with him for like 20 years and he was extremely loyal to.
I can't imagine anybody telling Coughlin what to do.
Yeah, and that's where I wonder if that was just pretty much Coughlin saying
that's why John Merrill, Coughlin, when he retired or whatever the hell that thing was, he basically walked past John Merrill without acknowledging him.
Yeah,
that's why.
Ooh, I forgot about that.
What a great freaking move.
How's that worked out for you, Giants?
John, why did B.O.B. go so far away from the offense that they ran in 2017 for the 6-game run where he put up so many points?
Because defenses changed after an offseason. The competition changed, and their offensive line was even worse.
Yeah, and there was also the element of Deshaun having a collapsed lung. There was, because we saw, look.
I think it's that.
The week 17, they ran, what was the crazy stat? It was like a third of all designed quarterback runs that they ran happened in week 17. Mm-hmm. Like, they flat out said, all right, this is what we're going to do. But then they went away from it. And it's true, like, you can take some of it away with game planning on defense, and it's supposed to open up other opportunities. And
losing Will Fuller hurt him big time. They threw a lot of deep passes to Fuller. You know, it's funny. 11 games, 11 touchdowns. Can you imagine what Fuller and Watson could do if he could actually stay healthy?
It's a good combination.
John, I'm going to ask you a question from your chat on the Chronicle yesterday. I'm just going to go ahead and plagiarize one of your Chronicle listeners. Is finding a durable wide receiver on their offseason checklist?
It should be.
Yeah.
You know, it would be a guy like Demaryius Thomas, who's larger, who's durable, but the problem is, if a guy, say it's a veteran, does he come here knowing he's going to be the fourth receiver? You know, how much money do you get as a fourth receiver? I'm not exactly sure yet what they think of Vincent Smith after his rookie year, because he's 6'3", and he runs in the 4.3s, and he had so much to learn, but he flashed at the end of the season. But they definitely need receivers at starting at 4 and 5, who can step up and hopefully stay healthy.
What were the circumstances when they signed Cecil Shorts?
I think he was unrestricted, wasn't he?
Yeah, but I'm thinking, like what did Cecil anticipate his role being going into that year? I mean, he had a chance to compete for being the number two guy, right?
That was 2015, right?
I believe he's on the triple threat today, so we could text Sean to ask him that.
Because both he and what's-his-name were signed as veteran receivers.
Nate Washington.
So, I mean, you can find guys like that. Like, Cecil Shorts, very viable veteran. Veteran wide receiver. Sometimes it's nice just to have a guy that you know is going to run the right routes compared to he's got blistering speed, but you don't know where he's going
to
be.
I would rather have a veteran. You might have to get somebody that's late 20s or 30 or something like that to come in. And his agent would say, look, you go in there as the fourth receiver, number two and the three get hurt. So you got a good chance to play and maybe make some money after 1 year.
John, I showed you during one of the commercial breaks the new advertisement that's been put up by Gillette. It's titled, We Believe the Best Men Can Be. It's a short film by Gillette. It's a minute and a half long. Here is a clip from said commercial.
Is this the best a man can get? Making the same old excuses.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
But something finally changed.
Allegations regarding sexual assault and sexual harassment.
And there will be no going back. Because we believe in the best in men. To say the right thing. To act the right way.
Bro, not cool. Not cool.
Some already are. But some is not enough. Because the boys watching today will be the men of tomorrow.
So that sparked a whole bunch of outrage.
People are upset.
Yeah.
If you take a look at the YouTube...
It's a great commercial for people to talk about it.
The YouTube reaction, 249,000 likes, 620,000 dislikes.
If you'd have told me that commercial... Excuse me, Seth. If you'd have showed that to me and didn't show me Gillette, I wouldn't... And you said, what product, much less the company... I wouldn't have put a razor blade in the top 100.
Yeah. I wonder though too, aside from at the very beginning, they played the news reporters saying toxic masculinity and Me Too and a few other things. I feel like that set the tone for everything to where that set a lot of people off. As soon as they saw the news reporters using buzzwords, that's gonna inherently make people angry. Because I feel like the rest of the commercial is kind of like I thought it was kind of uplifting.
Fairly.
I'm like, oh yeah, like we should all be better, you know? Like I didn't feel like I was being personally attacked as a white man and all that. But I guess some people did. It's interesting the way different people took that. I wasn't going to... I will say this. I'm not going to go out and change my life based on anything a mega corporation tries to make me feel inspirational about or anything. Like, I can't even be inspired by sneaker commercials anymore. So I'm like, all right, great. You're trying to sell me... You're trying to convince me I need a $200 sneaker. It's a cool little video and everything, but no, I refuse.
Think about who they're trying to reach. You know, they're not trying to reach us. We all buy razor blades we buy.
They're trying to reach basically teenagers.
Teenagers, young, would teenagers be impressed by that and say, I'm going to buy Gillette?
I mean, I don't know. I do Dollar Shave Club because it's cheap. I mean, Gillette razors, let's be honest, they're kind of expensive. I can see why some people would get annoyed by this. You're a corporation. You're a soulless corporation. I'm supposed to believe that you have feelings because you put on a Super Bowl ad a couple of weeks before the Super Bowl with your, quote, short film?
Well, you do wonder, like, I am fascinated by the actual mechanics of how these things get made. Is there any part, like, who in the boardroom is saying, hey, you know what? We just need to do something to help out this country versus like, hey, here's an angle here. I bet there will be a whole lot of buzz if we do this. Like I always, and I'm going to inherently doubt the intentions of it no matter what. So it's off-putting to me whenever a big company does it. Yet I don't doubt that there are people in big corporations who genuinely do care about this stuff. I can't help but feel like, all right, this is mega corporation trying to tell me how to live my life.
Somebody said, let's do something different.
Yeah, and I think the big thing to me is the viral part. Like you can't, I mean, that's the thing that's worth it for them. Like going viral, because how hard is it in advertising to cut through, especially in this day and age where people are getting so many ads basically bombarded onto them, for them to get a viral ad where people are talking about Gillette, I think for them qualifies as a success.
Hold on 1 second. Okay. Do you guys see or hear ads that you don't like so much you change channels, whether it's radio or TV?
There are times we've had issues in the past. They fixed it, I believe, but where sometimes on the stream they would play the same commercials over and over again, and people hated that, which is good because you know they're they're listening to the ad. But because the same thing happens on the internet, there are websites I won't go to anymore. NBA.com used to be really bad with this because when you'd watch the highlights, the same ad would play between each. Like, I don't mind. The 15-second internet ads don't bother me. I'm kind of like, all right, these guys get it. They're only going to show me a 15-second ad. But it was like the same ad. Major League Baseball does it, too. The same ad every single time, and it starts to drive you insane. Yes. It's like a Chinese water torture.
Yeah, I remember sometimes we're listening to our podcast, and I'm a big fan of listening to our podcast after the fact. They would have the same commercial at the very beginning of the podcast over and over again. And when you listen to like 10 in a row, you're like, okay, go bleep yourself.
Can you fast forward past it?
You can, but it takes, I gotta stop what I'm doing. I gotta press forward 15 three times.
That's why podcast advertising, one of the reasons, it's really, really effective because it's a highly loyal audience. It tends to be. And then also, like, people are usually doing something like working out or driving to where it's like, all right, I know it's only going to be a 30-second ad. I'm not going to, well, I'll listen to the 30-second ad. I'll support Paul Gallant.